Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Oh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. Big game for him.
No. He says no.
He says no, but I don't believe
him. He says it's a big game because every week's a big game.
Not only did the Titans fire him, he didn't get hired that next cycle.
Nope.
He had to take a year off. He had to get some weird no-show Tony Soprano job over there with the Cleveland Browns where you don't actually have to do anything. You know, you just show up with a hard hat.
Advisor.
Basically, yeah, he's an advisor, whatever he was. And no one picked him up. And we all, around here, I mean, that kind of got overshadowed by the fact that Bill Belichick didn't get hired. But Vrabel not getting hired after taking that Tennessee team to the heights that they went to. I mean, they beat Tom Brady in a playoff game. They were in the playoffs the next year. They were the number one team in the AFC for one season before they had that disappointing knockout there. And he did have two bad seasons at the end. But not getting a job after that, I thought suggested, all right, you know, maybe it was a problem there. You know, maybe he was a problem with that team. Maybe behind the scenes, things weren't going great. He didn't have great all sorts of stuff. Because if you don't get hired in the next coaching cycle while all these other guys are getting, you know, shots at it, and some worked out, some clearly didn't. And I think that once the availability of Mike Vrabel became apparent to Robert Kraft and, you know, the people in New England, we've read now that there was some split there about even bringing Mayo in at all. Well, Vrabel's available now. Let's just go with him. But no. Robert Kraft, he ordained Mayo to be the guy. And luckily, went back on that after one bad year. But it was sort of a weird path for Vrabel to get from there to here.
Even on top of that, like, he wasn't really a front runner in any conversations either. Like, I think it was just the Chargers' job that it was like, all right, if we don't get Jim Harbaugh, we want Mike Vrabel. But they got Harbaugh, and then Vrabel really wasn't in the discussion for any other coaching job, which I found really weird because you look back at the Tennessee time frame, and it's like, all right, yeah, he had Derrick Henry, but he kind of revived Ryan Tannehill's career there for a minute.
Definitely.
He went to an AFC championship game and went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. The quarterbacks he lost to in the playoffs were Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. That's it. Like, those guys who beat him in the playoffs, all guys, two of which went to Super Bowls, one of which still has not, like, but is a two-time MVP in the league.
And I would say on top of that, that one thing with Vrabel is the in-game coaching is extremely detail-oriented,
yep,
which is something that when you look at, for example, they just went through in Tennessee with Callahan is somebody who was not that way, who was not always sure or didn't have the staff underneath him.
He didn't know a butt cheek was 2 feet.
Exactly. When to challenge a call or not. And that's something that I think now that you see last week where Vrabel's literally having could have had four challenges of bad calls in the game, that stuff matters a lot when you're a first-time head coach. I do want to ask a question that I wanted to ask Vrabel, but I didn't get to, and I don't even know if he would like this question. But I'll ask you, Shime, because you're very interested in like the coaching carousels and the career cycles of these guys. Do you think it's easier to get a first-time head coaching job in the NFL or a second time, a second shot?
I think that's a great, that's a fantastic question. I would
Thank
say
you.
It's easier to get a first time because you haven't brutally screwed up yet. So there's no track record to hold you against. And if you just work for a great coach, like, you're going to have an immediate in. If you work under Shanahan or McVay or now O'Connell or associated with those guys in any way, Matt LaFleur now even, I would say, like, you're going to get looked at a lot more than other people. So it's about just positioning yourself the right way the first time. You're going to be able to get a job eventually. Like, I mean, look at all the coaches we've gone through in the NFL. Some that suck, some that are great. And like,
and a lot of them get second chances, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that when you go through the coaching carousel every year, there's guys who get second chances that you look at and go, for me personally, when the Commanders hired Dan Quinn, I was like, oh, come on. Like, this is so unimaginative. What are you doing? Turns out he was a great culture guy and a good fit for that program, and Cliff Kingsbury being the offensive coordinator underneath him. But I think we often look at the second chances and go, like, why is he getting second chances?
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, he was in a Super Bowl. Like, and I think that's the thing. It's like those second chance coaches have to be pretty good, right? You have to have a decent track record. You're not giving Hugh Jackson a second chance. You're not giving Antonio Pierce a second. Brian Callahan's not almost certainly not going to get a second chance.
Yeah, he could be a coordinator.
Yeah, he'll be like a position coach or something.
Exactly, and that's kind of what you resort to, is you end up having to be a position coach or an assistant coach or a coordinator at best. Like, Josh McDaniels got a second chance because he had one moment with Matt
Jones. Because he turned his back on one of those jobs.
True, with the Colts. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it really just goes by, number one, who you know, and number two, what have you done lately? And that's those two things can make or break an entire career. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got some calls lined up here on Football Sunday, so let's go ahead and get to them. Ralph is in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, guys. You know, before the draft, I was saying, and I said it on some shows, I wish the Patriots could grab this kid Henderson in the second round. They did. He's a specialty player. I mean, I don't know how. I don't know if it was Wiggy. Somebody said, run him 7-8 times. This kid will be on season-ending IR. He's not that kind of player. You pick this guy. You had Gibson. Yeah, you should have never run kickoff backs with Gibson and make a better chance of him getting injured. Henderson comes in, like, let's say the third quarter. He's so fast, you can't catch him. The defense is tired. He can really help the passing game, too. That's the kind of player he is. This team is going to go as far as the offense with passing, as far as Drake May takes them. This is not going to be a good running, especially if Stevenson keeps fumbling the ball. But, you know, they're going to win as many games offensively as the passing game gives them. And I got to tell you guys, I always said those receivers earlier in the season or preseason, they didn't like the receivers. I love the Patriots receivers, especially with Diggs. He's motivated now. But the passing game is going to just keep getting better. That's going to be your number one option. We'll win if Drake May continues to be Drake May.
All right. Thanks, Ralph. Yeah. Love the wide receivers?
No.
I don't think anybody loved the wide receivers. Even when Diggs got here, no one thought he was going to recover from his injury so quickly. I thought that was kind of a risky move. Like, that was kind of a half measure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, you're making the room better, I guess, but what's Diggs going to be? He's coming off a torn ACL. He's getting up there in the years. You know, who knows what his, like, attitude's going to be going to New England. No wide receiver wants to play in New England. We know that from the last 5 years of all these free agents saying no thanks and taking less money to go other places. So good for Ralph if that's what he really thought, but I don't think that anybody was coming into this going, yeah, Matt Collins and Steph Diggs and Kyle Williams are really going to revolutionize this wide receiver room. I don't think that was the thinking at all at the time.
No. Also, do we really think Travion Henderson's an injury risk?
Well, I think he's saying that because he's a little on the small side. But
yeah, I mean, we're not telling him to give him 30 carries like he's Derrick Henry.
Right.
Like, that's not how he's supposed to be used. He's not Jonathan Taylor. He's not Derrick Henry. He's not Josh Jacobs. I don't think anybody's ever said that he is, but, like, I don't know. He could get 12 or 13 carries in a game. I think that's totally fine.
Do you believe out of all the running backs who may be on the trade block going into the rapidly approaching deadline,
sure,
that any of them are really a realistic possibility for the Patriots? Because I do think that that's a very obvious point where they could make a move. Mm-hmm. But, for example, like, they're not going to get Breece Hall. Like, why would the Jets trade within their division to you? Like, that's not happening.
They wouldn't. The only one I thought may have been realistic for a moment was Alvin Kamara, but he clearly doesn't want to leave New Orleans, so I don't even think that's realistic at this point either. Like, Derrick Henry's not realistic. Breece Hall is not realistic. If anything, you're getting a third on the depth chart running back,
which you probably should have, because even
should.
If
agreed.
You were
you
listening to Jeremy Springer answer, like, hey, why isn't Travion returning – kicks, and he's like, we have two running backs.
Well, I like you,
you know, like you are a little hampered there.
I think you could even call a team like Tennessee and ask about a guy like Tyjae Spears coming back from injury. He's behind Tony Pollard anyways. This team's not going anywhere. Like, I think that's the kind of guy you could add more so than a big name.
The Raiders have a couple of guys I like. Zamir White and Mostert. I mean, I'd go for either of them.
Yeah.
And
Mostert's a veteran guy.
Keaton Mitchell on the Ravens. You know, that's a team that if they don't pull themselves, so they're not going to trade Derrick Henry, but they might trade him. You know, like,
maybe, yeah.
I could see that. And those are just, you know, I mean, there's Jerome Ford on the Browns and some other guys, some other names that have been kicked around. You just look at the bad teams, and if they have a third or fourth running back, yep, you assume that they might be up for sale.
Well, maybe,
yeah,
Carolina's open to dealing Chuba Hubbard now that Rico Dowdle's like the best running back in football.
Yeah, that was a great pickup for them. No question about it. All right, let's go to Campbell. He is in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Campbell.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, I just want to talk about Drake May. We're in Nashville right now, from Tewksbury, yeah, but this place is buzzing like the queen bee. And I just want to say, Drake May, this kid looks like a stud. I think he's going to be MVP. I think he's going to win the MVP, and I think he might be better than Brady when all is said and done.
All right, Campbell, you down there? All right, thanks a lot. There you go.
Okay.
Gonna say sounds he like someone
he offends your sensibilities. He offends your sensibilities with that.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Better than
Tom Brady?
Someday?
That's where
was
I draw
it. Said he's more. It was this Curtis said he's more talented than Tom
yeah,
Brady.
Yeah, but like, there's been a bunch of quarterbacks that are more talented than Tom Brady. They're none of them are better or more accomplished than him, though.
I would agree with that. Sure.
Yeah. Like Aaron Rodgers was more talented than Tom Brady, but he was neither better nor more accomplished.
Shime said over the summer when we were talking on our Saturday show that he thought that Drake May was going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
Yep. Okay. I think that's kind of like the ceiling. Like, that's what you hope. If everything goes kind of according to plan, like, that's kind of what you're looking at.
Yeah, that'd be a nice ceiling to have. Have you guys ever been to Nashville?
No,
yeah,
unfortunately.
You've been?
Oh, yeah.
I really want to go.
I love it.
You've never been?
It's all it's built up to be,
oh,
right?
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's
what's the main street there with all the bars?
Broadway? Yeah.
And all the bars are named after country music singers?
Yeah, and they're constantly opening more and more. It's like Post Malone now has one. Jelly Roll has one. Blake Shelton has one. There's Tootsie's, which is one of the famous ones.
I'd love to go to Jelly Roll's
Acme. I did a food tour when I was there. It was the first time I ever had fried catfish. Delightful. Mm. It was very light.
Yeah.
Was it your own food tour or was it like actually organized?
No, it was actually organized.
Okay. You were announcing your own food tour.
Nope. We went to like a New Orleans style bar, which is kind of like down this alleyway. Had
Sounds
gator
confusing.
Nuggets for the first time.
Nice.
I've had those in Florida.
Love real some good. Gator nuggets.
They just taste good. Like kind of like chicken.
Yeah, they're kind of like chicken nuggets.
They're just mushy chicken.
Especially when you dip it in like ketchup. Yeah. Like it just tastes like
it's
a chicken
pretty
nugget.
Pretty much the same. Mm.
Someday. Someday we'll all go down to Nashville.
That sounds good.
That'd be fun. Just got to watch out for Morgan Wallen throwing the furniture off the balcony there.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, normally we have the top Ted list. Ted's not here, so we're just going to ask each other some questions. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's Football Sunday. Here's Chris Schein with what's trending.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots are in Nashville to take on the Titans today. Kickoff for that one is at 1 o'clock. We've got international play underway from Wembley Stadium, and it is a rout. The LA Rams are up 28-0 on the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth quarter, only about 10 minutes or so left in that one. Some injury news around the league. Great news for the Buccaneers today. Looks like Mike Evans and even Mika Egbuka will play tomorrow night against the Lions. Deebo Samuel out for the Commanders. Trayvon Diggs out for the Cowboys as well in that one after a home incident landed him in the concussion protocol. Don't have much information, but that was an interesting one. Your Patriots inactives are out today. Jalen Hawkins is the one of note. Then Charles Woods, Anthony Jennings, Eric Gregory, Caden Wallace, and Tommy DeVito. Otherwise, relatively clean bill of health for your New England Patriots, which is kind of nice. In the 1 o'clock window, we have the Saints at Bears, Dolphins at Browns, Raiders at Chiefs, Eagles at Vikings, and Panthers at Jets. In the 4 o'clock window, Giants at Broncos, Colts at Chargers, Commanders at Cowboys, and the Packers are in Arizona to take on the Cardinals. On Sunday Night Football, we have the Atlanta Falcons heading out west to take on the San Francisco 49ers. You can catch all the action for that one right here on WEEI after the Six Rings postgame show kickoff at 8:20. The bye weeks this week in the NFL are the Bills and the Ravens. And in non-football news, your Boston Bruins lost to the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 last night in Colorado. They'll try and salvage the West Coast road trip tonight against the Utah Mammoth. Puck drop for that one is at 7. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW. Earthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Drake May toeing the line right there and asked a question about the playoffs. I was surprised. I was surprised by a couple of answers that he gave after that game. The first one about, well, actually, I guess this was not after the game. It was with WEEI Afternoons when they asked him about the late flag. And he was like, yeah, it was the latest flag I've ever seen in my life at any level of football. And you know that they get coached not to criticize the refs. And he still was like, yeah, I've never seen a flag that came late.
Well, it's not a criticism. It's just pointing out a fact that the flag came in very late. That's all.
I was still a little surprised. I would have thought that, especially him, he wouldn't want to put that out there and get unfavorable calls like in the future. But either way, he's usually very good about that stuff. And I thought that was an interesting answer there, too, because he really towed the line. It's early to talk playoffs, but, you know, that is the goal, and that's what we're going for. And, you know, it's not that early, and da-da-da-da. And I was surprised. I was surprised to hear him talking playoffs after six games, especially in the wake of Steph Diggs and the don't drink the Kool-Aid and all that sort of stuff. Talking playoffs at this point is kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, isn't it? Again, not to make more Jonestown references, but isn't that sort of what Diggs was talking about?
I guess so, but I mean, three straight wins, including one against a division rival in Buffalo, I think is a big deal. Like, I think that's the whole reason. Like, yeah, the playoffs are very realistic at this point. May not have been after 1-2, but at 4-2, it is. We're hot. We're cooking. You beat the Titans. You're 5-2. Then you're like really kind of in the catbird seat, trying to get to the playoffs.
And let's not dance around it. I mean, the strength of schedule is so incredibly favorable towards them, and these guys will be professional and talk about the parity in the league and the individual talent that these different teams have. But then you see a team like the Titans, who are such a mess. They are a mess top to bottom. They're a mess every way that you can be a mess. Mm-hmm. The owner's a mess. Lives in Texas and just fires the coach every other year. The quarterback is a young mess, throws more interceptions than touchdowns. It's unfortunate. And they don't have a coach. Like, they're a complete mess.
Yep.
And so you look at that and you go, if you guys can't take care of this kind of team and, like, just figure it out against them and continue doing that against teams, a lot of teams don't get better as the season goes on. Like, I know we think that, like, a lot of teams, oh, they figure this out and they get the running game going and the defense and younger guys improve, get more experience. There's also a lot of teams that just fall apart.
Yeah. Injuries happen. Injuries happen as the season goes on. Key players are gone. Quarterbacks are out. Like, yeah, all sorts of stuff happens.
Like, you look at the 49ers. They've had a great start to the season, but you lose Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. Like, there's no way that gets better.
Yeah, of course. And I mean,
we don't know who the Ravens are going to be when they see
exactly.
the Ravens.
Yeah.
Things develop week to week, and you have to respect that. But the schedule is soft.
It's nice.
It
so,
is.
So, yeah, you should talk about the playoffs because the schedule is so soft.
Yeah.
Very friendly.
We'll get to the top Ted list without Ted here in just a minute. But I'm seeing this now circulating a little bit. Someone named Zach Gatsby tweeted this out, and now I see Savage has it too. According to Burt Breer, this is what people are saying. Burt Breer, they've attributed this to Breer. I haven't actually seen or heard Breer say it. But they're saying that the Patriots have identified two potential wide receivers to target via trade, and they are Chris Olave, who we just saw and who I thought played very well in that game, and Jordan Addison, the number two guy in Minnesota behind Justin Jefferson. I'd love either one of those guys, obviously, but I find both of those names to be a little pie in the sky considering who usually moves at the deadline and
also
the Patriots' propensity to go after a wide receiver.
It also doesn't feel like a massive position of need right now.
At the moment, no,
The way your receivers are playing, the way Stephon Diggs has stepped up, I don't see it as a position of need. I think you'd be better suited searching for backup offensive linemen because offensive linemen always get hurt. You want pass rushers and you need safety help. Like, those are the three I think you should be looking at more than receivers. But receivers are the hot button name, so everybody wants to talk about
them. Well, and also with somebody like Olave, like, you think maybe this is somebody you could have control of the contract or something for
right.
a little bit. He's expiring this season.
Exactly.
So it's not like, oh, well, we have an opportunity to get this guy who then we can have for a couple of years to come with Drake May. Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, no. Patriots still have the most cap space in the league, so they could always extend him if they wanted to.
I just think there are such other areas of need that are so much bigger.
I agree.
100%.
I think so, too. Even on the offense, I think that running back, that's a big deal right there.
If the Giants lose today, you should be calling them about one of their pass rushers. They have three of them. They can't keep all of them.
True.
Honestly, even just adding some depth at some of these position groups. It's not sexy, but like it's
like
necessary.
Offensive line. Like, you're going to need offensive line backups because it's just the way the NFL works. At some point, somebody's going to get hurt. They just are. And you have to be prepared for that. And I don't want to see Vidarian Lowe trot out there in the field. I'm sorry to Vidarian Lowe, but I don't want to see
really
him.
Really nice person.
He seems like a great guy. Don't care. I don't want him on my football field.
617-779-7937 is the number. Let's go to Kyle in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Kyle.
Somebody is really excited for Jack Westover.
That was uncalled for there, Kyle. Anyways,
Tewksbury calls have been out of left field.
They really have.
I think Tewksbury needs to relax.
You know what? Okay. It is afternoon at this point, so
it is. We're
the party's getting started.
Some kind of safe harbor here, I would say. All right, let's get to it. Why not? Let's get to the top Ted list.
Five, four, three, two, top Ted list.
All right, normally we just fire questions at Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson texted me this morning and said, I can't take it anymore. I'm not coming in today.
Stop it. Don't even start
That's
that.
That's not true. Ted is not feeling great. We hope he recovers quickly and he's ready to be back here. Well, first of all, during the week with WEEI Afternoons and, of course, back with us next Sunday. But since he's not here, here's what's going to happen. We'll just go around. We'll take turns. I'll fire some questions to you guys. Mego, you fire a question to Chime, and I will go around until we run out of questions or we run out of time. And I'll start right now. Mego and Chime, who do you believe is the scariest team in the NFL right now?
To me, it's somebody that you face in a couple of weeks, which is Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield, to me, is the real leader for MVP in that conversation. And I maybe it's just because they're actually on your schedule. So I look at teams like Detroit, who are really good. Mm-hmm. Some teams that have maybe stumbled a little bit out of the gate, like the Bills, like the Chiefs. But I still think that they're going to be an obvious force in the playoffs. But right as we sit here right now, it's clearly Tampa Bay to me.
Yeah, for me, I mean, the easy answer is Kansas City. I think that to me is the easy answer just because it's Patrick Mahomes, the history behind him, like regardless of how they've looked this season, they get Rashee Rice back this week. That to me is scary. I agree. I think Detroit is very scary. I just think they have so many weapons at so many different positions. Right now they're hurting in the cornerback department just because of injuries again. But outside of that, like, I think they're really good. I also think the Colts are low-key kind of scary.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor is awesome. Like, Daniel Jones is the story because of his resurgence, but it is crazy how much he's overshadowing Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is at this rate going to win offensive player of the year. He has been phenomenal for them.
Can I spin this the other way?
Go.
Because of what we're watching in London right now, who's the biggest frauds at this point in the season?
I think they're on the television as we speak. To be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Is there anyone besides Jacksonville who is just needs to be like on the extreme fraud?
Steelers looked pretty fraudulent against the Bengals the other night.
Totally agree.
I thought that was a pretty fraudulent performance.
I think the Steelers, I also think, this might be a hot, I think the Denver Broncos are kind of frauds.
Really?
Ooh. I think the offense is extremely fraudulent. I don't think Bo Nix has been good
after last year.
Like, he has been terrible this year. And I think, I know the defense gets pressure. Nick Benito is one of the better pass rushers in football. I think the pressure numbers sometimes can be a little skewed. I don't necessarily believe that that defense is as good as it was last year.
I think the Eagles and the Seahawks are kind of frauds, too. I think the Eagles are just looking fraudulent.
You think the Seahawks are frauds?
I do. I don't buy into them. I don't buy into what they're doing over there, and I don't buy into Sam Darnold.
I do buy into the Seahawks. I understand people's skepticism of the Eagles.
I think everyone just hates the Eagles at this point. Yeah, we don't like watching
they're gonna
the
push. They're going to get
better. We don't like watching it, and it's boring.
They were at this point last year. They were like 4-2 last year. A.J. Brown was bitching about the offense, the passing offense, running too much. They're going
to
be fine.
There's so
much
talent on that roster.
They're so good.
It's hard to think that they're to call them frauds. I would just say they're not an enjoyable football product.
Definitely. They are probably the least enjoyable team to watch actually play football.
There we go.
All right. Mago, you got a question?
Oh, I did my fraud one. I'm going to jump to a weird one.
Oh, yours is the fraud one. Okay. All right. Then Chaim, you go. Okay.
Yeah. So, Arkane, you brought it up earlier. One of the cities you most want to visit is Nashville. Is there another U.S. city that you are like number one on your list U.S. city you want
to
visit?
I've always wanted to go to Austin, Texas. I always thought that would be a fun place to go. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've never been. I've never really been to Texas at all. I'd like to go to Houston, too. I heard Houston's fun.
Yeah, I hear
there's
Houston's
a lot of good music there, too. But yeah, when I used to work at this music station and they were going to send me to South by Southwest, which really excited to go to, and then the station folded like a month before the thing, and I didn't get to go. It's radio, you know how it is. I never got to go, and I always wanted to, and I've always thought of that. So yeah, I'd like to go to Austin for South by Southwest.
Heck yeah.
This is a really weird blind spot for me in travel. I've never been to Chicago.
That's my answer too. Neither have I.
I've been to the airports a zillion times. That absolutely does not count, but I kind of want to do like a Chicago summer weekend, like long weekend.
That's exactly what I would have said as well. I've also never been to California at all, like anywhere in California. I would love to go. I would love to go to the San Diego Zoo. I think that would be a lot of fun.
There's a lot of cooler things to do in San Diego than go to the zoo.
Are there? Okay. Well,
yeah,
there you go.
Beaches are wonderful.
All right. Fabulous. Mego and Chaim, if you could take any player off of any team in the league and put him on the Patriots, who would it be?
I'll let you start with this, Chaim.
Any player at all.
Any player, any position, doesn't matter who.
God almighty. I would probably take Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett.
Right. I want the best pass rusher in football. I think the quarterback's phenomenal. I thought for a moment about taking a guy like Jamar Chase or Puka Nacua, but I think for me, I would rather just have the pass rusher at this point. My quarterback's really good. I'd want Myles Garrett.
At this point, I'd probably have to go with any running back. So I know that's like a low, everyone's like, that you can find running backs
Jonathan
anywhere. But maybe Derrick Henry. Like, I just don't think those trades are going to happen.
Yeah.
And that would completely change the balance of your offense for the better, where I think, like, who cares what you can stop in the passing game on defense? Like, you would have such a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. I'd like, I don't know, there's some safeties out there I really like. I like Kevin Byard in Chicago. Kirby Joseph in Detroit, I think, is a pretty good
safety. Like, it's not a way of saying who the best player elsewhere is, but, like, what would dramatically change the team.
I think Bijan Robinson would be my answer.
Oh, my God.
I put Bijan Robinson on the team today.
Special.
That's a great
answer.
That'd
be awesome.
All right, Mego.
Okay, so because we know that Nashville is so well known for country music, I'll start with you, Arkane. Who is the greatest country artist of all time?
Patsy Cline.
Wow.
Patsy Cline.
That was fast,
and
too.
George Jones is my runner-up, but those are the two. And my dad was really into Patsy Cline. We used to listen to Patsy Cline on like long car rides. And she's got a great voice. George Jones, great voice, too, but a total alcoholic, that guy.
No other musicians struggle with
definitely
that.
Definitely. The only one, I think, ever. But those are my two answers, 1 and 1A. I don't really like much country music past that point, either, past that like era of country music.
Mine
that's where I'd stop.
Kind of similar. I mean, I had to go Johnny Cash. My dad is a massive Johnny Cash fan. My husband also a massive Johnny Cash fan. So I don't think you can beat Johnny Cash.
I would say, just to kind of twist the question just a hair, one of the more impactful country artists that I think is somewhat polarizing but has done a ton for the country music scene in general over the last 25 years, I think would be Kenny Chesney. Like, he made it kind of popular. He made it a little bit more mainstream. It was a little bit more poppy. I know it's not necessarily everybody's cup of tea, but I think he is one of the more impactful country artists
in
the last...
Can I make a very embarrassing admission?
Sure.
I don't think I can name a Kenny Chesney song.
Really?
I don't listen to that type of like, pop country a lot. What is his biggest song?
Oh, this is a huge blind spot for me.
Boys
of Fall is probably one of his more famous songs.
When the sun goes down. That's him, right?
Yeah. Yep.
We'll still be grooving. You know that one?
No.
Oh, yes, you do. No, wait, why?
Yeah, well, I can't recognize
Thomas,
it from
cue
you
that one up.
It.
Well, I just sounded exactly like him, so okay. I don't know how that's possible. But yeah.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem.
I know that one.
Yeah. Okay. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Okay, now we're talking. I know these songs.
Yeah. He has a million of them. I Go Back. Yeah, there's a lot of them. But yeah, I would say Kenny Chesney, one of the most impactful country artists.
But not your favorite.
Is this a safe space right now?
No, probably not my favorite.
Yeah,
is this
a safe space?
So I never listened to any Morgan Wallen songs, and the only thing I knew about him was that he was a bit of an a-hole. He's on SNL and he played that song like "If I'm the Problem, If I'm So Bad" or whatever. Yeah. I was like, "This is a good song."
Oh, like, he makes a lot of good songs.
Artists are popular for a reason, right?
No, I know, but I don't like country music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like bro country, but I like that song. I was like,
he has a ton of good hits. Like, they're just hits. He knows how to make a good song. I'm not kidding at all. Like, he's very talented. Somebody else is writing them.
So,
well, probably.
Right. No, it's true. It's fine.
Okay.
So credit to that songwriter. Well, you write a good song.
Pivoting off of greatest country artist, when you think Tennessee Titans, who is the first guy that comes to mind?
Steve McNair.
Yeah, that was my answer.
Air McNair and Eddie George probably after that. But yeah, McNair, I was so sad what happened to him with that whole thing. And there was a documentary about him on Netflix. You guys see that documentary?
I did not watch it.
It goes into like detail about the girl and that whole thing.
It's real? Because a lot of those Netflix sports documentaries
are not real.
They don't go into like the real issues, you know, like the untold ones. A lot of the details remain untold.
Okay.
When they did Johnny Football, they glossed over a lot of stuff at the end.
Where I was like,
what was this documentary about?
This one was a little more like, you know, he's gone, so obviously there wasn't as much there. But there was like this big alternate. There's an alternate theory at the end. Spoiler alert that I didn't really believe. But yeah, it was worth watching. He was a great player. Oh, was he good?
He was awesome.
He was really, really good. And I know the Patriots beat him a bunch of times, including that game in the freezing cold. Remember that one?
Yep.
That playoff game when it was like 30 below, and they went there and beat it. Tennessee came to New England. They beat
him. He one of the only co-MVPs in NFL history, right?
Yeah. It was him and Manning.
I think so.
Yeah, but yeah, he was great. Eddie George was great, and I really liked Chris Johnson. Remember Chris Johnson, the running back?
Oh yeah, CJ2K,
one of the fastest players I've ever seen in like a live game. He was awesome. I liked him a lot.
I also think too. Just image-wise for the Titans, was it Andre Dyson reaching out in the Super Bowl being like half a yard short is one of the great images in football history.
Yeah, I mean, they lost on that play. Yeah.
No, I know. That's why it's one of the great images.
It was a great image, that's for sure. Mago, who do you like on the Titans?
I mean, I said McNair. That was my choice.
Anybody other than McNair?
I mean, in a very lame way, like because of the way that it's been over the last several years, I think Derrick Henry, because I think Derrick Henry is somebody who we focus so much on quarterbacks, and there was a movement that some of the running backs were trying to start about trying to like reassert power within their position. Derrick Henry is one of those almost outliers when you talk about
how the run
game can change your team. And it's almost like you have to remove him from the conversation a lot of times.
And when it comes to running backs too, like a lot of times the more carries you give them, the worse they get, the more banged up they get. The more carries you give Derrick Henry, that's like the stronger he gets. It's insane.
True. All right. Here's my question. Who is the next head coach to get fired?
Oh, this is an easy one. It's Mike McDaniel in about 12 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he gets fired after losing to the Cleveland Browns today when Quinshaw Judkins runs for like 150 yards right down their gullet. He is going to get canned.
I don't understand how he hasn't been yet. Like the weird stance that Miami continues to take.
They're super passive and patient. I don't get it.
Yeah, they're like, we're exercising patience to see what's going to happen here. It's like, what do you think is going to change, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that he was going to be gone after, like, in week four. So I know it's only week seven, but I'd agree with that. A little worried about Kevin Stefanski, too.
Have you guys seen Jonathan Gannon's press conferences lately?
Dude, did you see the one where
the
like,
Vick one?
Oh, my God.
That was weird. It's in my folder.
Please pull that up.
I was trying to think about listening to that. If you haven't heard it, we're going to play it in a second, I think.
I think Gannon, because there were expectations for that Arizona team this year. People
agreed.
Thought
and
that
they started 2-0. Everybody's like, oh, here we go. And then they have just since fallen apart.
With that press conference, I was trying to think if there was any way that you could make it better by asking a follow-up.
I don't know about that. If you don't know what we're talking about.
The way it sits, the answer sits here is horrible.
Yeah, listen to this. This was a question and answer from Jonathan Gannon last week.
How early in your career did you have to start trying to figure out how to take the emotion out of coaching as far as when you have all these injuries and you have all these different pieces. When's the first time that you can recall it?
2007, when our quarterback went to jail.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, guys. See you later. And he was out of there. He got up like Dennis Drinkwater at the end of a Sox game, and he was out of there. That was so funny.
I thought that was AI when I first saw that. That was unbelievable.
That was tremendous. He's my answer, by the way. You guys have McDaniels.
That's a great answer.
I think it'll be him. All right, do we want to do one more?
I have one.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, and this is a little mean, but as we're looking at Cam Ward, and it's a very tough start for him, who is the most disappointing rookie quarterback that you can remember?
Oh, easy for me. What do you got, Trent?
Jamarcus Russell. Easy.
Yeah, Jamarcus Russell's a good one.
He was so bad. And, like, he couldn't even get on the field.
Yeah. They used to give him blank tapes.
Yeah.
And say, can you watch the film? And he'd come back and be like, so did you watch it? He'd be like, yeah, I watched it all night. Yeah. And they were blank tapes. They used to do that. I mean, that's
okay,
tough.
That's entrapment.
It is. I mean, you should watch them and see that they're blank. For me, it was Joey Harrington. Joey Harrington, who was picked by the Lions. And the reason why is because he went to Oregon, and the Buffaloes played Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl when I was a freshman or a sophomore. I can't remember, in college. And Joey Harrington kicked the crap out of Colorado in that game. And every time he'd throw a touchdown, they'd cut to this like pre-made package of him playing the piano. It's like, oh, Joey Harrington's such a great piano player. And I was like, screw this guy.
Piano player. It's like the Justin Tucker opera singer.
Yeah, right. And it was like that. It was Harrington. It's back. There he is playing the piano again. After every touchdown, we get a little concerto from Joey Harrington. And then he gets drafted into the league and he sucked. And I was kind of happy that he sucked, but like he was about as disappointing of a QB prospect as I could ever remember. There you go. That is the top Ted list so minus good. Ted here on Football Sunday. That means there's only one thing left to do. Chris Scheim, Mego, Thomas back there. It's time to get real greasy, real degenerate. It's time for the betting segment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Coming up next. No, Mac. No, I haven't. Not since freshman year, backup gunner for the BBNN freshman team. I was at my 25th high school reunion last night, and no one remembered my exploits on the football field.
Tough.
Pretty sad, huh?
Tough.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about a full slate of NFL games. One that is just about over here, about 2 minutes left. You got the Rams all over the Jags there in the victory formation, about to score a 4-touchdown victory, 35-7. But there are many, many more games to be played today and tonight. Mego, what do we got?
Let's start with our own at 1 p.m. You have the Patriots at the Titans. I'll start with Scheim.
Yeah, this is an easy lay the points with the Pats for me today. I am all over them. I have laddered the Patriots -6.5, -9.5, -13.5, -19.5. I will take the Pats in every way imaginable.
Yeah, I think that a little bit of money moved over to the Titans overnight. I think about like 5% of the money went over there, but it's really not enough to make much of a dent. You still have most of it going with the Patriots, even with the points there, even on the road, even at there being their third straight road game. I think this is a easy win. I think they win by at least two scores.
Let's hit this next one quickly because it's a toilet game. Dolphins at Browns.
I low-key love this game. I'll take the Browns. I'll lay the 2.5 points. As I mentioned earlier, huge game out of Quinshon Judkins, I expect. So that's my play. I want to bet Quinshon Judkins to score 2+ touchdowns in this game.
This is one that's a little confusing to me, as the Dolphins have 76% of the money on them to cover 2.5. I think that's crazy, but they must know something. So I'm going to go.
Weather's going to be crazy in that one, too.
Yeah, it's true. I'll chase the steam there with the Dolphins.
Let's look next. I'll start with you, Arcana. Raiders at Chiefs.
Raiders, Chiefs, and it's a big line. 13 points, 12.5, depending on what book you get it at. Geno Smith, since that Patriots game, has been so bad, about as bad as he's looked since his rookie year. The Chiefs are starting to come alive. I think that they win this one and that they blow doors.
Yeah, I also agree. I'm going to take the Chiefs and lay the points.
Chime, we agree that we do not enjoy watching the Philadelphia Eagles. They'll be at the Vikings this week.
Yeah, this is a buy low spot for me for the Eagles. I'll take the Eagles. I'll lay the 2.5 points. I saw it at 1.5 earlier, if you could have gotten that. I don't see the Eagles losing to Carson Wentz. I know it's been bad, but they were on 10 days rest here. The Eagles are going to bounce back.
Yeah, I think the Eagles bounce back here, too, even though everyone loves Minnesota for some reason.
I don't get it.
Including the money. It's 53% of the money and only 35% of the bets. Here's what I like more than the Eagles in this game is I like the over. It's a low over under 43.5. Mm-hmm. I'd hammer that over.
The Saints are coming off of a loss to you last week. They will visit the Chicago Bears. I'll start with you, Arcan.
The Bears are going to lose this game, I think. It's a small line, 3.5, 4.5 on some of them. Either way, I'd go with New Orleans to cover that. I think Chicago, they've won 3 in a row. They're one of the hottest teams in football right now, for sure. But I don't think it's for real, and I think that the Saints are a team that's maybe not going to win this game, but is looking to make a move at some point this season and break out of being one of the bottom feeders, because they're not that bad. So I think that they cover.
I think the Saints are frisky, but I know this is going to make Mego mad because I know she doesn't love Caleb Williams, so I will take the Bears -3.5
points. Why do you know? Why do you think I don't like Caleb Williams?
Just certain text messages, and, you know. You were very upset about the Bears beating the Commanders.
This is true. All right, let's talk about two teams in bad spots. That's the Panthers at the Jets. I'll start with you, Arcan.
Okay, Panthers and the Jets. I mean, the Jets are looking like a historically bad team. Carolina is becoming this sort of America's sweetheart sort of story here. It's 1.5, and it's...
Jets are favored.
Yeah, I mean, they're favored in some. It's pretty even on the money line. Like, this could be a good money line game because it's like -104 Carolina, -105 for the Jets. I might go there. I might not even mess with the points in this one. But, yeah, I think that the Panthers do it. I don't think this is going to be their first win.
I'll take the Jets. I think this is the Jets' first win of the season. Carolina is a very good team at home, not very good on the road. Bryce Young is horrendously bad on the road. I'll take the Jets. Who knows?
Speaking of darlings, the New York Giants, Arm and Hammer, go to face the Denver Broncos. Shime, who do you like here?
Yeah, I think the Broncos could be a little fraudulent, but they're good enough to beat up on a not-so-good Giants team. I will take the Broncos.
I think the Giants are surprising people this year, and again, I'm not sure this is a game that they win, but if it's more than a touchdown, I think I like the Giants to hang around. And some of these I'm seeing 8.5, so like, you know, that seems like too much for me for a Denver team that does struggle to put up some points. They do have a great defense, and they have a very good offensive line to run the ball. But I think the Giants can keep the ball away from that team, and I think if they limit turnovers and Scataboo continues to smash into everything in front of them, that they could get within 7.5, 8.5. I think they can.
If Dart pushes it and almost beats the Broncos this week after having beaten the Eagles, he's going to get a ton of respect.
Definitely.
Arcan, we have the Colts at the Chargers. Who do you like?
Colts, Chargers, okay. The Chargers are a team I think could be scary. They did have those two losses in a row that had everyone going, well, wait a minute. But they're also, there we go.
Yeah,
they're 3-0 against their division.
Yeah.
The Chargers have beaten all three teams in their division this year. They're 4-0 in conference. And I think that the Colts may be in trouble here. I think the Colts are getting all sorts of love. They're getting all the money put on them. But the Chargers being favorites at home, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think that they stopped the Colts in their track, maybe put them in their place a little bit today.
You hear that, Arcan? That's the boulder coming down. That is the Chargers into the Colts. But who escaped the boulder? Indiana Jones. Give me the Colts +2.5 at LA to take on the Chargers.
I think we may only have time for one more, so let's go. Commanders, Cowboys, who do you like here, Shime?
Ah, this is tough. The over is 54.5, which is way too high. Mego, you're going to hate me. I'll take the Cowboys. The Commanders are really banged up. I think this is just going to be a wildly kind of weird game. I will take the Cowboys.
What about the Sun?
I like the Cowboys, too.
Shut up
about the Sun. All right, that's all the time we have here today. Great job, Thomas. Shout out to Wiggy. Shout out to Tom E. Kern. Enjoy the football, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
See ya.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.